Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Today is another Sunday in virtual ministry. I'm glad to welcome you in to Northwest Assembly of God's Sunday morning message. And today is communion, so you'll need a cracker and some juice for the end of the service. I invite you to hurriedly pick those up. I want to tell you, this has been a weird time in our nation, hasn't it? It's an unusual place that we're all living, that we're all dealing with. What I want to encourage you is that it's not forever. Things will change. Things will get better. We will get to come back to our churches to celebrate and worship together. I miss worshiping with our church family, but I have enjoyed worshiping and meeting folks from across the nation and having family join in for the services too. So one thing I want to tell you is that we will continue our virtual services at noon on Sundays once we do come back to church person to person. The other thing is that we are planning to return May 31st to in-person services. That's 2 weeks away. But that'll be contingent on whatever the government says that is able to do. So if you're joining us this morning, if you could just say hi or lift a hand or wave or whatever. Hey, Ronnie, Pastor Bishop Ron, I'm so glad you're joining us. Always a joy to have you in service with us. Bless the Lord. And Linda Bowers, so glad you're here. And I thank God for his goodness. It was good to see you the other night in Zoom. Thank you for joining us today. Our friend Beth, thank you for coming in for the service this morning. I appreciate that. I hope y'all have your cracker and your juice ready to receive communion. I want to open in prayer as we get ready to begin our service. And again, thank you. Be sure to make a note that you're with us. Hi, Sister Donna from Albuquerque. We're so glad you're here. And Sister Eller, that you're here. God bless you. Let's open in prayer today. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this day. Let everything that we do bring honor to you. Minister to those that are joining us in virtual ministry across our land. Let the Holy Spirit minister the truth of the word to them wherever they are. We bless your name. Mimi, glad to see you. Give our love to Araceli. So glad y'all are with us this morning. Well, I was going to put this as the title on Facebook, and it didn't come to me until after I had already posted it. The title of this sermon, get ready, Judas was a preacher of the kingdom of God truths. And so the message this morning is about Judas. Now, we get real sanctimonious about Judas, and we dismiss him as a villain or a victim. But the truth is, and I'm struck by this, he was like us in many ways. And you may go, whoa, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm not like Judas. There's nothing about me like Judas. Judas was a man. Judas was a preacher. Judas was called into the 12. He loved God. He served God. But something happened in the course of that, and he lost his first love. His heart began to be divided. And the thing where I say that we're like him is that our hearts, too, can be divided. But let's look at this. I want to prove to you in the Word of God that Judas was a commissioned preacher by Jesus. You have to think about this. Judas was a follower of Christ. He left all, just like the other 11, and took up the call to follow Christ and to minister with him. He left everything, and for 3.5 years, he walked in tandem with Christ. You see, we don't think about that. All we think about is the betrayal. But Judas was a firsthand witness and a disciple of Christ. He was active in ministry. You go, whoa, wait a minute. He was given power by Jesus to proclaim the gospel. In Luke 9, 1 through 2, Scripture says that Jesus called the 12 together, of which Judas was part, and he gave them power and authority over all the demons and sickness. They were empowered to heal, cure, and deliver because Jesus empowered them. And he sent them out. Scripture says he sent them out to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. As I was studying and preparing this, I was like, oh my goodness, we've forgotten that part of it. The things he gave up, the commitment he made, the things that he saw, the fact that Christ himself empowered Judas with the ability to heal, cast out demons, cure illness. That's what Luke 9:1-2 says. Judas was a preacher full of the power that Christ gave his disciples. Think about this. Judas, in those three and a half years when he walked with Jesus, he personally witnessed the fullness and the power of Christ's ministry. Think about what he witnessed. He witnessed miracles, all the miracles listed in the Gospels. He witnessed. He saw the 5,000 fed miraculously. He saw Jesus command the wind and the waves to be still. He was there. He saw it. He heard it with his own eyes. He was there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. A better learning position could never have been obtained than what Judas was granted through his discipleship with Christ. He heard all the teachings of Christ, because when you read in the Gospels, it says, and the apostles. It doesn't say the apostle. It says the apostles, meaning all inclusive of the 12 most of the times. He heard the teachings. He heard the Sermon on the Mount. He heard the warnings that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. So he knew there was a heaven and hell. He knew what got you into either place. He heard the parable of the prodigal son, so he well knew that there was forgiveness when one failed, that they could approach the Father for healing and forgiveness, With his own eyes, not something he heard from someone else, but with his very own eyes and his very own ears, he saw the absolute miracles and teachings of Christ. He was a direct witness of the ministry of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, the Messiah. He witnessed it. And yet, this man still betrayed Christ. So you may be going, what happened? Because as I've been reading, I invited y'all to join me in reading the Gospels in these few months, to start at Matthew and read through. And so as I've been reading the Gospels, the thing that keeps ringing through my mind is, what happened? This man who saw all of this, who was empowered in ministry, what happened? Now, here's what happened. Satan made a relentless, continual attack on Judas' soul. You know, Satan attempts to make relentless, unprecedented attacks upon believers' lives today. And we read about some of these attacks. In Luke 22, 3 and 4, it says that Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, and that he, though belonging to the 12, meaning the 12 disciples, He went away and he discussed with the chief priest and the officers how he might betray Christ. How does one go from being empowered by Christ himself to having Satan enter his heart and mind and then going to betray him to the very people who wanted to see him dead, the chief priest and the officers of the land? And in John 13, 2, we read that the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, to betray Christ. And in John 13 and 27, we read, Satan entered into him. Do you know where he was when he entered into him? He was seated or leaning, reclining at the communion table, the Last Supper. And it says that Satan entered into him right there at that table. And Jesus knew it. And he said, what you do, do it quickly. And so you may be saying again this morning, Pastor, how does this happen? Well, we have a clue in Scripture how this happens. The same way it happens today. No, you're not going to betray Christ to be crucified. That's already happened. But we betray Christ when we sin. We betray our relationship in Him. We break our connection to Him through sinning and then attempting to hide the sin in our life. You see, here's what happened. Though Judas had witnessed all the miracles and all the provision and had seen, walked, talked, slept, ate with Christ, he still allowed sin to enter his heart. And here's how it happened. It happened because he opened his door to a behavior that he did not repent from. You see, Judas had been given the responsibility of the money bag. You got to always be careful with the money bag holders, right? And he had begun to pilfer the resources in the money bag. He was the treasurer, if you will, for the disciples. And in John 12, 6, Scripture tells us that he was a thief. He was a thief because he had the money box and he had been pilfering. That's what Scripture says. Now, this passage of Scripture occurs when Mary is anointing Jesus with extremely expensive oils, perfumes. And Judas speaks up and says, what a waste. We could take this money and give to the poor. We could do all this good with it. But you see, that wasn't what was really in his heart. What was really in his heart was he wanted that money to come into the purse, and he had been stealing. But Judas didn't take the opportunity to confess that sin. And when he did not confess the sin, and he continued to participate in it, Satan entered him. That's what Scripture says. It says Satan entered Judas Iscariot. Satan entered into him. How? Because sin breaks relationship and connection to Christ. And though he was still traveling with him, though he was still witnessing Christ's ministry, his heart and his mind had become divided, and his connection to Christ was breached. Oh, he had relationship. He was still one of the 12 disciples. He still saw the ministry, but he no longer had the fullness of the connection because sin was present in his life, and he was cooperating with it. The story of Judas reminds us of this. There is nothing good that can come from hidden sin. Nothing. When we fail, and notice I did not say if we fail. When we fail, we must be quick to confess that sin and ask the Lord to forgive us and help us go forward and put it away. Put it away. From Judas we must learn to heed the warning. We must not try to hide our sin. We must bring our failure, our breach of righteous behavior to Christ and ask for his forgiveness. And then go and sin no more in that realm. There's so many today in churchdom, and I mean churchdom across all faiths, that believe you can do whatever you want, whenever you want it, and it'll all be okay. But that's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches us that when we come in relationship with the Lord, that we need to seek His righteousness. We need to allow the Spirit of God to change us and bring us into right standing with Him. And when we fail, when we sin, and the Holy Spirit convicts us of it, we need to be quick, Lord, forgive me, and move from that place forward. Judas failed in his relationship because he broke connection to Christ through the sin that was in his heart and then in his behavior. Now you may be thinking, can righteous people, can Satan enter the heart of righteous people? No. They cannot. He cannot, because the blood of Calvary covers and keeps us, and we are deemed, redeemed by him. Satan enters the believer when we sin and when we fail to confess that sin. It's called providing an open door. You've heard preachers preach that. Don't give Satan an open door. What they're meaning is don't sin, and don't sin and not repent. When you do, ask the Lord to forgive. The other thing is that we need to cooperate with the Spirit of God to walk in connection with Him and let His Spirit bring transformation in our lives. Before we receive communion this morning, I want to show you some things in the Gospels. The institution of communion, the ordinance of communion, is listed in all four Gospels. If you can see this, and I'm told that you can write these down. This is where communion appears in all four Gospels. Now, here's the thing. It must be pretty important for it to show up in all four Gospels. All four authors of the Gospels recorded communion. But I want to point some things out. Well, all of them list that it occurred on the first day of unleavened bread. But in Matthew and in Mark, we clearly see that Jesus is reclining at table with all 12. So Judas was part of the ordinance of communion that Christ instituted for the church. He was present. His sin is revealed at this table, or his breach is revealed, because Jesus speaks to him and says, whatever you have to do, do it. Jesus says in the Gospels, in various places, he said that, I say to you, this is the Mark passage, I say to you that one of you will betray me, the one who is eating with me. And then in the course of that dialogue in the Mark Gospel, each one of them says, surely it's not me, surely it's not me, it can't be me. And there sat Judas with the plan in his heart to betray Christ and to sell him to the chief priest and to the officers of the land. The thing I want you to realize this morning before we receive our communion, and we will receive it in just one moment, is this. Judas was a man called by God, called by Christ. One of the 12 that left everything, that made a commitment, a dedication, and a determination to walk with him in his ministry. He witnessed the countless miracles of Christ firsthand. Not somebody telling him about it. He saw it firsthand. He was given power through Christ in that Luke 9, 1 through 2 passage where Jesus said, I give you authority So he was commissioned with the authority of Christ. This same man who saw all that, who witnessed all that, who had given all up to go and follow Christ, is the one who sold him and betrayed him with a kiss. The reason I say we're like him is this. We can be like him. Is because how many of you have sat in church services and you've seen the divine power of God fall? You've seen lives change and be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit bringing a renewal and a change within. You've witnessed miracles. You've witnessed provision that defies understanding. You've seen physical, tangible miracles. You yourself have been changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. But then you begin to kind of disconnect. Or a practice wants to come back into your life that the Lord said, lay down, don't do that. And you begin to practice it and you hide it. Judas didn't walk around saying, yeah, I'm pilfering the money here. He hid the sin. You see, what's so important there is this. He had heard the prodigal son's message that all it takes is to say, Father, I've sinned. Welcome. Take me back into your home. I'm not worthy. I'll feed the pigs. He heard that message, and he refused to cooperate with that message. And we'll do the same. We'll get angry and we let anger boil up in our being, in our temple. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We'll decide that, oh, we don't, that teaching is archaic. Certainly he doesn't mean that. Certainly the Ten Commandments don't hold today. They were old. They're archaic. They don't apply to the 21st century that we live in. And we begin to slide on righteousness. You know what it means to slide on righteousness? It means I begin to cut corners in ways that God has said, don't do it. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't commit murder. Don't be a person not of your word. Don't be angry. Scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't cheat with someone. And we'll go, well, you know, whatever. It's okay. God understands. Yes, God understands. He understands sin. And that's why we can be like Judas. We can open a door, and then the enemy begins to attack. But here's the good news this morning. As believers in Christ, his word says that no power, no weapon, no principality that is formed against us can take dominion and control and overpower us. And that means if I'm standing in righteousness, which is right, standing. So my urge to you this morning is this. Before every communion, we offer the audience the chance to say, Holy Spirit, examine my life. And so as we prepare our communion, get ready. I hope you have your cup and your cracker or bread, whatever you're using. But now, before we come to this table, let's ask the Holy Spirit to examine our life. Is there anything in our heart? Is there anything in our mind? Is there any unconfessed wrong attitude, wrong behavior, wrong action that I may have participated in that I need the Lord to forgive me from? So let's pray this morning before we receive this gift of our communion. Holy Spirit, we know that unconfessed sin opens the door the operations of the enemy. So we open our heart, our minds, our souls to you this morning and say, examine us. If there be any unconfessed, unrepented for wrong behavior, sin, wrong attitude, then God forgive us. Oh, Jesus paid the price at Calvary for this forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord. Let us be whole, clean, renewed, sanctified in you this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You see, with Judas, that's all it would have taken. Jesus, forgive me. And then to change my behavior, change the action. You can't just ask for forgiveness and then not let the Lord help change you. Cooperate with Him. Give you a second to get your cup and bread. Again, you should read the Gospels, these sections of the communion. I'm reading this morning Paul's in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25, his offering of communion. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you partake of the bread? In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Would you partake of the cup this morning? He goes on to say, "For whoever does this does so in my name," and makes a proclamation that occurs until the day that he returns. He will return, and he'll return for a church that's ready, whether we're called into heaven through the grave or whether we're called into heaven through the second coming. One day, he will receive us. I want to encourage you with this thought this morning. Jesus knew what Judas was about. He knew what was happening, and he gave him every opportunity to repent and reestablish his connection in Christ. We serve a Lord that loves us, that gives us countless opportunities to connect with him, to restore relationship with him. Let's be people of faith who, when situations arise where we fall short and sin, that we quickly and immediately ask the Lord to forgive us. Don't give Satan an open door. Don't give him an opportunity. God is good all the time. God is good. He loves us. He keeps us. He gives us his peace, his presence, his power, and his countenance. Help us be people that stay in connection, not just relationship, connection to Christ. I pray that you have a good week. I pray that you're safe. Don't be foolish. Do the things they've asked you to do. Encourage one another. If you're part of a family of faith, whether it's Northwest or it's other families of faith, encourage others in Christ. Send a note, send a text, send a video. Encourage people. You know, you may be in social, what is it called? Social distancing. We all are having to socially distant, but it does not mean that we have to be socially isolated. We are not alone. His word declares that he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. He's always with us. But you have brothers and sisters in Christ who are around this world that you can connect with. I encourage you to connect with them. This morning,